Good evening to everyone. My name is Jeremy Moore, and I'd like to officially welcome you all to tonight's More Success Team Legal Shield Conference call. We've got an absolutely fantastic call lined up for you guys tonight. I know some guest speakers I'm really looking forward to hearing and learning from. But before we get started, just a couple of quick housekeeping notes. You know, tomorrow is the final date of the month of April. We want everyone to be able to close the month out strong and make April the best month so far this year. We're on pace to make it a record-breaking month. And so just remind all of you all, we have all the way through midnight tomorrow night to submit those applications and those new associate agreements, and up to 10 p.m. On a reinstatement, membership. So we've got time for you all that need those last few Performance Club points, or maybe that last membership or two to promote you to that next level or qualify for executive director or whatnot. There's still time. I'd really like to take advantage of your briefings tomorrow and the luncheons and three-way calls with all of your uplines, and really make sure you close the month out strong. And, you know, that just real quick, I'd just like to just one thought I've had over the weekend. And, you know, I've had so many positive calls since we came back from the convention with all the new videos and the new system and the new format for the briefings and everything is just so professional and so, you know, it's such a duplicatable system and it's so streamlined from coast to coast no matter where you're at. And I have one thought just to really hammer home to you guys, and all that stuff is awesome and it's great, but you'll never get around the fact that exposure is everything. The person who talks and exposes this membership and opportunity to the most people, they have the biggest organizations. They'll have the biggest growth in their teams. Their organization will write more memberships. And so keep that in mind. We have the tools and the systems now, but now's the time to ratchet up our own activity. If you're doing one or two exposures a day, now's the time that we have these streamlined systems. We have all this professional material to take your exposure process to a whole new level. That's how we'll truly benefit and ride this momentum wave that is taking place right now from coast to coast to the Red Legal Shield. And just keep that in mind, guys. Just something I just want to share real quick. It's not really a training topic that we're going to talk about tonight, but it's something I really wanted to really stress and hammer, hit really hard on at the beginning of the call, is exposure is everything. The people who expose this membership in this business opportunity to the most people, they win every time. And with the systems and the tools and the infrastructure we have in place today, you can see those results really explode and exponentially grow your business. And so, with that being said, I'd like to go straight out to Ain't Oklahoma, to an original millionaire club member, a $500,000 income earner, platinum four executive director, but most importantly, he's my papa, and that's Mr. Ken Moore. Papa, are you there?
Right here, Jeremy, good and loud and clear. You know, it's a great night. Have you heard the coin zone? Is the coin zone yet?
Yes, we're here.
Oh, great. You know, Jeremy, I always get excited about this couple here tonight because they're always the favorites of our people. They're someone that you can learn to love, you learn to appreciate because of their character, because of their stability, because of their integrity. It's just something that, you know, you don't just come by, that you have to earn. And they have really earned my gratitude and earned my respect. South Regional Vice President, $300,000 of South Carolina, $300,000 income level, Platinum 2 Jacket earners, Millionaire Club members. And Mr. Cohen, he's a founder of Graphic Sign Business, Sign It Quick. He's a recipient of the Charleston Chamber of Commerce Business Person of the Year, and also the recipient of the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce Business Person of the Year, and that's for all of South Carolina. And, of course, Teresa Cohen, I should say Mrs. Cohen, she's a great teacher. She's great. She's just great about everything. I think one of the finest, prettiest, smartest ladies I know. My honor and my privilege to introduce you to Frank and Teresa Cohen. Thank you for being on the call.
Well, Mr. Moore, thank you. And, you know, I was just looking at the new profiles of success, and I don't know another family that takes up three entire pages in that book. And it's so awesome to be asked to be on your call. I mean, you and your whole organization are just looked to as the role models for everybody. I mean, you know, between Jeremy and Stephanie and Randy and Patton, you and Shirley, and I mean, we're just honored. Thank you for asking us to be a part of your call.
I know honored, and thank you so very much. Just liberty.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk for just a few minutes, if it's okay, and then I'll turn it over to Frank.
Well, you're the boss.
Yeah, right. Well, I so agree with what y'all were talking about earlier, that, you know, Frank and I were just talking over dinner, and we keep hearing from our leaders that they're using the new website and it's doing the work for us. It's just so hard to believe that we've actually got a website that is doing the work for us. Now, we have to do the exposures. You're so right. I mean, but gosh, the people who are doing the exposures and leading people to the website, they're having such great results. And so, and us too. So we are fired up about it. And what I want to share tonight for you and your team comes from actually a road trip Frank and I took recently. And we've had some of the, we like to make our car the traveling personal development university. And as many of you do too, I'm sure. And we were listening to one of the success CDs, and Darren Hardy was interviewing Robin Sharma. He wrote The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari and some other books. But anyway, there was a few, and the whole CD was fabulous, but I just picked out a few things, and I actually shared these at our breakout, and I would love to, in Oklahoma, and I'd love to share just a few of the points from that CD, because they're so applicable to what we do in our business. So the first one, I'm going to share six of them, and the first one is success is not in the realm of genetics, it is in the realm of practice. And that word practice is a key word for us, because every time we make an exposure, we're in practice mode. We are practicing. You know, and you know, and they talked about on the CD that how every successful genius took at least 10 years to become successful, at least some 20. What does it matter if we're moving in the right direction and we're practicing every day, making exposures, doing our follow-up? You know, then we're headed in the right direction. We have to know that it's not given to us on a platter. It's not in the realm of genetics. It is in the realm of practice. And you don't ever have to talk a football player who loves football or any sports person who loves what they do. You don't have to talk them into the locker room and to get on the practice field. You don't have to talk them into it. They love it. And that's what we all need to be in that mindset. We all need to love what we do every day. And most of us do. And, you know, and if you don't, then it probably one of these other points will probably take care of that for you. The second point that I want to make that I thought was really applicable is that our business is people, that when we take care of the relationships, the money takes care of itself. And, you know, in this business, there's nothing more important than building trust. You know, being where we're saying we're going to be on time, or like Mr. Stonepepper says, if you can't be on time, be early. Doing what we say that we're going to do. Follow up, when we follow up in a timely manner, that builds trust. When we don't follow up in a timely manner, I don't think that builds much trust. You know, they forgot about me, they're probably thinking. You know, they asked me to go to this website and stop. You know, they didn't call me back. I mean, that's not going to build trust and build a relationship. But so everything that we do, and when we do it in the right manner and the best that we can do it, that definitely builds high trust relationships. And that begins with prospecting, and it of course flows all the way through to doing things for each other, to supporting each other in the business, and supporting our downline and being there for them. So. And I know this organization is full of trust. I mean, I can't even imagine anybody not being 1,000% full of trust for the Moore family and all the leaders, all the incredible leaders I heard, you know, chiming in on this call tonight. The third point I think is really great that I wanted to bring out. We're actually paid to be scared. I mean, honestly, think about it. We're paid to push the envelope. We're paid to be scared. But, you know, if we stay in safe harbors, as they say, we're not going to ever get anywhere. There's no fortune made in the safe harbor here. We have to, at times, be uncomfortable, be scared. Eleanor Roosevelt has been quoted by saying, do something every day that scares you. You know, where are we going to stretch ourselves every day? And I think that's an awesome mindset to just to know that we do need to stretch ourselves. We need to learn how to be more comfortable walking up to the person that we want to give an exposure to. We've got to get past all that stuff. You know, I love what Dave Sabula says. He says, you know, if you think you don't have a friendly personality, change it. Become a friendly person. I mean, I just get over it. I just think that's so awesome. And the fourth point I want to talk about is, and this is a huge one, it's a huge one for me at least, this is the age of dramatic distractions. You know, we're texting, we're emailing, the TV's on, the radio, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all that stuff is going on all the time. And it's a dilemma for most of us. I mean, we're derailed by all these distractions constantly. In fact, I think all entrepreneurs are in a war against distractions, against people taking up our time. Average people love leisure and distractions. World-class people love learning and getting big things done. And this is fascinating. In an average day, the average entrepreneur spends 2.1 hours in distractions. In fact, they say every 11 minutes we're interrupted on average. So if it takes 25 minutes, which it does, to get back in that alpha state of great focus on what you're doing, you really never get back to it because you're interrupted every 11 minutes. So it takes a lot of deliberate separation from the distractions to become productive. You know, it takes a lot to sit still and focus. It takes a lot to turn off the email and to turn off the Twitter and to turn off, you know, the texting and all of that and really sit down and do our follow-up calls. It takes, in fact, some of you right now, I guarantee you, because I do it all the time, I've done it, and I'm really working on getting better, you're probably checking your email right now or responding to one or to a text. And there's no such thing as multitasking. In fact, I mean, we use that term a lot, especially women. We say we're multitasking, but really we're switching. And there's a CNN report that talks about switching, because there's no such thing as multitasking, so they use the word switching. It makes you dumber than if you were stoned. It says your IQ drops 10 points when switching back and forth between email, conference call, Twitter, Facebook report, whatever you're working on. You're switching back and forth. It makes your IQ drop about 10 points, but if you smoke a joint of marijuana, it only drops 5 points. Now, I know it's a crazy thing to talk about, but it's how detrimental the distractions can be to us. And according to that CNN report, it's a serious thing. So we have to chip away at all the distractions and all the noise around us. I think that's really, really key to all of us becoming successful quicker. The fifth point I want to talk about is that mindset is the number one factor for entrepreneurship, for success. And, you know, I think we all know that attitude is everything. Success is grit, not intelligence, not genetics. It is grit. It is the ability to pursue your vision and believe in your vision when the rest of the world is mocking you, discounting you, discouraging you. And you have to have grit. Sometimes you have to say no to a lot of people and a lot of other opportunities, a lot of other requests. Success is grit. In fact, money is the byproduct of the value that we create. And I thought it was a great point. You know, if we give 10x of our value to others, if we really give 100%, if we've got our mindset in the right direction, we're going to become really valuable to others, and that is a key part of becoming successful. And the last point I want to make is I'm really applauding you for what you're doing tonight, because in fact, all successful entrepreneurs belong to what we call Traffic University, listening to audiobooks in your cars and having a special time every day where you're reading your 10 pages a day or listening to that audio. And boy, those four audios that they came out with in the new associate kit, I've never heard so many accolades about audios before. those CDs are invaluable. We want to make sure everybody, and not just our new associates, but every associate gets to listen to those four CDs. So those are 6 points that I thought were just awesome that came from listening to from our employment of the Traffic University methodology and listening to one of those incredible CDs in the car. And I just want to tell y'all that, before I turn it over to Frank, that we are seeing growth today. When we look at last month and we look at this month, we're continuing, our organization, I know yours is too, is growing. We have everything. In fact, over dinner tonight, one of the things I said to Frank is, you know, I don't know what else the company could have done. I just don't know what else they could do for us. It is up to us to do what Jeremy was talking about. We've got to make the exposures. We've got to get out there and recruit a ton of people. And knowing the new fact that the average new associate sells 5 memberships, that's the highest it's ever been in the history of the company, is my understanding, we need to recruit a whole lot of people. If somebody wants to get to executive director or get to Power 20, it's about recruiting a lot of new people. When you just think about that, 5 new people, 5 times 5 is 25. There's 25 counters right there. So what if you and a handful of people in your organization recruit 5 this week? You know, kick off May in a huge way so that you can have the counters that you want, so that you can have the income that you want that comes from the counter increase. So I'm excited. Frank and I are honored to be a part of this company, and we're certainly honored to be a part of your call tonight. So, Frank, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Therese. Right.
Can you hear me okay, Therese?
Uh-huh.
Mr. Moore, can you hear me okay? Because I'm on a portable phone here.
Yes, I can, Frank. You're loud and clear. Go right ahead.
Ken, I want to thank you, man, for the advice you gave me at the convention, too.
What advice was that, Frank? I might need to use it myself.
It was, you know, I always looked for you for wisdom, and you said, Frank, when I was young, my theory was young them, love them small and love them tall, but make sure you love them all.
Frank, I'm not sold. I don't still believe in that.
You remember you were showing me pictures of your wife and you when you were young, and you said, love them small, love them tall, but just make sure you love them all. I thought that was good advice. Listen, it's just an honor to be on here, and I'll tell you, I hope y'all enjoyed Teresa's training, because I enjoy her every time she gets on, and she listens to the same thing I listen to, and she gets more out of it than I do, so I hope y'all enjoyed that. And that opening 5 minutes or 2 minutes she did on exposure, that was worth the whole call right there, and that's true in every business. You know, you can't get anything done or anybody know about your product until you expose them, so... Anyway, I just thought I'd say thanks for that training in the beginning. And I just want to go through something real quick here, and Teresa and I were discussing, you know, what to talk about on this call. So I'm going to just run through a little fireside chat here for a second. And, you know, Teresa and I, before we came here, we had a number of businesses, and almost all of them were, you know, fairly successful. And I learned some stuff along the way. That first thing that I learned that becoming wealthy is not a giant project. It's not a huge project at all, as a matter of fact. And I'll just say that again. You know, becoming wealthier, what you call, you know, some people call it rich, you know, is not this giant project. It's really just as easy as pushing the button. And what I mean by that is, if you've got a product or service, there's 3 pushes that you can do to get, you know, people to know about that. You can push the numbers on your phone and phone somebody and let them know what your product is. Or you can maybe right now, you know, push a button on a computer and let the whole world know what you got. Or you can just push yourself out of the house and go out and let somebody know what you got. Because if you don't let somebody know what you got, there's nothing you can't move the product or service. So the first thing we did when we came here, I said, you know, we were very part-time. We had a chain of stores when we came in this industry, and I was opening 25 new stores. And I didn't have hardly any time. Only time I just had time in between building the stores and getting permits and training employees. And I was traveling between 3 cities. And I told Teresa, I said, you know, I want to build this business, but, you know, with all the stores we already had, and then we're building 25 more, I said, I'm going to have to work in little pockets of time. And every business we've ever built, that's how we built it. you know, we had something going, like most of us work, you know, full time at a job and trying to build Legal Shield. Well, we built ours on these little pockets of time. Normally before work every morning, I'd call somebody and try to take a note, get a cup of coffee and tell them a little about Legal Shield, or during lunch, I would hand somebody a video back then and, tell them I'd get back with them. Or if I took a break, I'd give somebody something and say, I'll get back with you. And I used these little pockets of time to build our Legal Shield business in the beginning. And, you know, that first year we built a really good income. Our major goal here, and if you're just starting, this might help you. If you've got children or you've got, you know, a job or two jobs, it doesn't matter what you got. If you'll just use little pockets of time, because it doesn't take very long to get somebody, you know, a website. It doesn't take somebody, you know, very long to get somebody your business card with a website on it. It doesn't take very long to hand somebody a DVD or a CD. And if you can do that, I mean, you can build a tremendous business. Our goal here when we came here, and I'll just tell all of you, we were making fairly good money, but I told Teresa, I said, if we can get this sucker up to $50 a day, you know, we'll be on our way. And so that first few months, I was handing out these videos and getting back with some people, and some people came on board, and we got that thing up to $50 a day. And, you know, that doesn't sound like much to some of you guys. I know the Moores are multimillionaires, but if you're making $50 a day with Legal Shield, that's $1,500 a month. And, you know, that was going to take care of a house payment. And once we got it there, I pushed it to $100. I kept giving out more videos and stuff and sitting down with people when I could. And then we were making $3,000 a month. I was making $100 a day on an average, and we were doing $3,000 a month. You know, that's $36,000 a year. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of money to some people. But if you're making $36,000 part-time, and you just save that money, you think about it. $36,000 a year part-time, and in 3 years, you can buy a $100,000 house cash. And I knew that. And so that first year, we made really good money. I mean, we got it up to $200 and $300 and $400 a day. And I said, you know, besides Legal Shield, in those little pockets of time, when I'm not doing the other business and I'm not doing Legal Shield, I'm going to start buying some houses. And so we got some money, and we bought our first house, and I paid cash for it. And we saved again for a couple of years, and we bought another one and another one. And so when you're making money in Legal Shield, try not to spend it all. You know, try to build another income stream on top of that. And we kept on going. And now, you know, besides our businesses that we had before we started and our Legal Shield business, you know, now, and I never thought this would happen, ever, but we now own 27 homes, and they're paid for, basically. So regardless of what happens or how slow you start like we did, if you get that money and you use it right, you can not only make a good living and pay off some credit cards and all your houses, but you can start setting up some other assets that's going to set you up for life. Because when we came here, you know, I was 58 years old, and I knew I wanted to retire sometime, and I figured between Legal Shield and a few houses, you know, we'd never have to worry about income as long as we lived. So I just want y'all to know, if you're brand new today or if you're like the Moores, you know, they could go out and buy a subdivision probably, but it took them a while to get there. But don't think that you're not sitting on something very, very large here. And I want to give you a mindset how you can think about this thing. In every city, large or small, everybody in that city is trying to do three things. They're trying to either get something, keep something, or get rid of something. Now, let me do that again. In every city in this country, everybody in the city is trying to get something, keep something, or get rid of something. And if you can help them get it or keep it, or get rid of it, you can get rich. And so we knew that 50% of the people needed Legal Shield. And all I had to do was let them know that I could give it to them and sign them up. So it could get them out of trouble, they could keep them out of trouble, and they could get rid of trouble. And so that's the reason I knew that if 50% of everybody in the city at any given time needs our service, whether they're going through a divorce or child support or custody problems or losing their house or getting a speeding ticket, whatever it was, we were going to be the people to supply that thing. So I kind of lost my voice here. I hope y'all excuse me. I'm trying to take a sip while I'm doing this. But just remember that if you want to get rich at anything, it's not a huge push. You just have to let enough people know what you've got. And if they want it, they'll get it. If you don't want it, move on and then come back and get it from them. So, Ken, that's what I wanted to share with y'all tonight, that in every city there's a few people who are going to get rich.
But you know what?
About 97% of the people in any city, they're going to buy stuff. And if you can supply the stuff, you can get rich. So I'll turn it back over to you.
I tell you what, Frank, first of all, I want to really thank you and Teresa for your good information. You're always so inspirational. And I want you to notice something tonight when you got on the call. You heard several people from your home state there, did you not, South Carolina?
I did. And I heard some down in Savannah also. We need to get together with them people.
We had a busload from Savannah, and down there we had a whole busload come to the convention. I thought, now Frank's going to get happy about that. So we want to thank you.
Yeah, and I want to tell y'all that if they're near tomorrow, Steve Milla is going to be here in town for our weekly briefing. So all those people down in Savannah, wherever they're at, they should drive up here for our weekly briefing.
Well, they're Tony Barclay's people. You know Tony, don't you? You met Tony a few times.
Tony's
and he's really doing
supporter,
great.
Yeah.
Really doing a great job. They're really expanding their business down there, and I always tell them to get with you because you're such a great guy, and your wife's such a great person, and always has such great information. If you have a moment, there might be Jeremy or David Peterman, or someone might want to ask you a question. Are you open for a question?
Oh man, I'm wide open.
David or Linda or Tony or Jeremy, anybody got a question for Frank?
Well, Mr. Moore, this is David. I'm not sure I have a question right now, but I want to tell Frank and Teresa how much we appreciate them and. Being on the call and their wisdom and you know it, when you look at what we have today, I think they were. I really appreciate what Jeremy said to begin with. You know, you got to have that exposure, and then you know with Teresa's comments and Frank's, I think that with what we have, they're just all excuses are gone. We just need to be doing more. It's like Nick says, you either. You need to do more of it, or you're doing something wrong, and you can change either one of those.
Well, you
no,
know,
that's
I talk.
Right. That's
you
a
know,
I have a comment too.
Frank, you know, I talked to Harlan all the time, and he really thanks a lot of you. And I was telling him about all the good things, and he said this to me: "He said, Ken, you know, that's all great, that's good, it's wonderful, but remember, somebody still has to do something."
Yeah,
and I believe we do, don't you?
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. Anyone else have a comment? Harold, anybody?
Mr. Moore, this is Tony Barclay. Can you hear me?
Yes, Tony. Go right ahead.
Well, listen, man. Frank and Teresa, I can tell you this. Our team here in Savannah and South Carolina really appreciate you and the words you have on this call. And quite naturally, team, if you're listening, these are the type of caliber of people we're in business with. We got the Moores, obviously, and we got the Coins up in Charleston. So I just appeal to everyone on the team on the call to make sure we plug into those events up there. And Frank and Teresa, look forward to seeing us, and we appreciate all your great insights on this call tonight.
Hey, thanks for all your support, Tony. Appreciate it very much.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else? Frank, I want to thank you and Teresa. Our family just loves your family, and we appreciate you very much. You know, we got a motto, and we close our call every week with the same thing. Just keep putting God first, family second, put legal chill third, and it all works out for you. So, everybody, we appreciate you. Next Monday night now, Mark Seguin is going to be a group trainer at 8 p.m., and then Jeff Hughes will be the 9 o'clock call. So be sure to be on that call. Be sure and support Frank Teresa when you're in their territory. God bless you, everyone, and good night.